Podcasting from the beautiful Mile High City, you're listening to the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling, the undisputed leader in no-holds-barred, catch-as-catch-can wrestling. Here's your host, Jake Shannon.
To the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling, the leaders in no-holds-barred, catch-as-catch-can wrestling. I am your host, Jake Shannon, and on the phone, I'm a huge, huge fan of Johnny Buck. Johnny Buck has been around the catch wrestling scene in this incarnation for quite a long time. He is a two-time King of Catch Wrestling champion when we were when Scientific Wrestling was co-promoting with the North America Catch Wrestling Association. He's just a stud. 5-year Division I wrestler at the Citadel, 4 national championship titles in Sambo, Greco-Roman freestyle, folk style, Gracie World's champion. What else, John? Hey, John. Sorry, I guess I should introduce you first.
Yeah, man. No, that's perfect, dude. Yeah, I fought in Bellator.
Yes.
I've done any kind of wrestling or grappling I can get my hands on. I try it. It's one of the old school thing. You know, take it on all comers.
Yes, sir.
That plus I will do any form of grappling there are. You know, I think I won. I don't know what the either national qualifier, or national title, or world team. I don't know what the fuck it was for belt wrestling. I've never heard of it. It was Power East State Games. I was coaching my youth team there, and I found a pair of size like 10.5 shoes, and my dude let me borrow them, and I shoved my feet in there, and I did that. So yeah, that's cool. Man. It's just the nature of how I am.
Yeah, you seem really just game as fuck, dude. Like you're just like, okay, let's just do this and see how it goes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome. Now, okay, so that's all like your wrestling accomplishments, but in terms of your contributions to catch wrestling, so people who may not know who you are, I mean, I don't know how widely distributed this is or this podcast gets. We get maybe 300-400 listeners per episode as of right now. So people at catch wrestling probably know you, but I know we get a lot of people listening in from MMA and pro wrestling. And in addition to all your accolades that you've earned as a wrestler and a grappler, you've got this new site, catchwrestling.ninja.
Yeah.
What is that?
So basically, before I knew what Scientific Wrestling, your site was, I didn't really look into it much.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of these affiliations out there, like Snake Pit, and I don't know what the other ones, honestly.
Yeah.
It's these certification courses. And
yep.
I can't stand a certification course, just like I can't stand a self-defense course, because you get like, you know, you get just the tip, you know, that's what it is. You get intro to it. And a lot of times you get this false sense of security. And guess what? You know, a self-defense situation comes up, you get fucked up. You get your level one certification and you go out there and compete. And God forbid, under the fucking catch wrestling banner, which, you know, that's not happening a whole lot. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But you get fucking smashed and it looks bad. And so what I did was it's $5 a month. It's a website. And it's everything. It's a bunch of classes I teach, seminars I'm teaching. I'm actually making a trip across the country. I'm going from North Carolina to Idaho to Elk Hunt in October. I booked a couple seminars there. I'm going to go meet a couple of two guys. I'm going to kind of do a little bit of everything. But it's and then from there, I'm going to be in San Francisco as well. I may do something in Napa Valley, but we're still working on the details on that, but it's basically a zero barrier to compete or to have access to, in my opinion, some of the best quality catch wrestling there is out there.
Yeah. So it's like what? $5 or $10 a month or something.
Yeah. $5 a month, you know, $60 a year or $10 a month.
And then they get videos, they get like a private, forum.
Private Facebook group. And if you're in the catch wrestling group, the catch is a big group. It's a fucking a
Oh, wait, hold on. So you cut out right as you were going to say what the catch wrestling group was.
It's a tiny dick measuring contest. It's, you know, they argue and they fight and everybody talks about how great they are. And, you know, that's a big problem with catch right now. It's 1990s jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
It's Alliance versus Gracie Baja. It's, you know, it's all this. It's, well, mine's better than yours.
It's the faction. It's like these factions, the factionalism of those early days.
I'm like, show me on the mats. Why? I don't compete. Okay, well, train. I don't train.
but they know everything. They know everything about the sport. So, well, let me just say this, because I've had the exact same experience. I mean, I really don't even go on there unless somebody tags my name or, you know, something. Yeah. I don't even bother with it. I have a very similar situation. I just have a couple groups, like a USA Catch Wrestling group, a Scientific Wrestling UK group. And all I do is, you know, you just post content. It's none of the drama, none of the bullshit, none of the backbiting, none of the that. But you know what? Catch has been plagued with that forever. So, but it's good. So Catch Wrestling Ninja, you've got this forum. So it's pure technique, pure discussion about like how to get better at the sport, right?
Yeah, and the part is, the best part about it is, or the worst, how you want to look at it, is the vast majority of the guys in my group are, I think everybody's training. I don't think anybody doesn't train.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are competing, and a lot of them, well, they're competing in jiu-jitsu. We'll fucking find a catch wrestling tournament, you know? And I'd like to see more catch tournaments held, even if there's small inner club stuff. Chris Rogers, he did one here.
Right.
It was a hybrid style rules, but I thought the rule set was great, and he got good feedback. It just didn't work out. I found out that he is going to do more at another location, so it doesn't break him because it's an expensive venue.
Well, that's the thing that bothers me. It's like, you know, there's people like you, like me, like Chris, like Joel Bain, a whole other, and I'm not necessarily leaving any people out. I'm just dropping names off the top of my head that are putting money into this, and there's no profit. This is the thing that pisses me off. It's people think that they say, oh, there's, you know, oh, the only reason so-and-so is doing it, money. Dude, I have not made money in the fucking 15 years that I've been doing this shit. I make money elsewhere. I have other businesses. Yeah. This is because I love the sport, and I love it. But, you know, what pisses me off is, like, when people finally do put on a show or put on an event, you know, people just shit on it or don't show up or don't compete. And it's like, well, what the fuck are you guys all complaining about?
At least show up and watch. Pay $50 if it's that.
Support it.
When they did the one in Iowa, you know, I looked at it. I was going to go out. But it was going to cost me $1,500.
Yeah.
Because it was in the middle of fucking nowhere. So you had to fly to the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
And then you had to drive 2.5 hours and then stay somewhere. I'm like, man, fuck this. I'll let the Gracie Worlds, you know?
Yeah.
And not to knock it, but the competition at Gracie Worlds is significantly higher.
Oh, yeah.
I went out to 10th Planet headquarters and trained with those guys. You know, there happened to be a couple of high-level wrestlers out there. You know, there's people who coach UFC guys and they wrestled. And so I had the opportunity to train these guys. And it was a cheaper trip. It cost me like half.
Well, and there's more, you get more visibility if you do an event like that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is what people don't realize is how small catch wrestling is.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of these people think there's more money or it's bigger or something. It's like a real small group of like hardcore people trying to make this happen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the thing is, you know, it's, you know, it is what it is. I love the sport because it is what it is, but you know, it is a tiny sport. You know, it's, and people look at it. It's just different. And I think, you know, because catch wrestling used to be the shit, and you know, the current thing with catch, currently, it's very different. You know, if you go back to like Pops, Billy Wicks, when he was a carny style wrestler, and it was legit take on all comers. But there was no TV. There was no, whether it was very limited TV. There was very limited radio. It was very, you know, like wheat paste flyers with a shit. You get, oh man, a carnival's coming to town. Cool, they got wrestling.
Well, yeah, that was it. That was the entertainment. Was the traveling circus, man. It was the carnies.
And you know, they would travel with that, and then they put the stick in the audience. Some little squirrely looking dude about your size.
Yeah.
And he'd go out there, and he'd pay his quarter or whatever it was, and he had a chance to win $5 if he made it 5 minutes. and then he'd make it 4.5 minutes.
Right, right. The wrestler would carry him for about 4.5, whet everybody's appetite. The tough guys, they look at the rangy dude like me, and think, well, shit, if he lasts 4.5 minutes, I can go kick this guy's ass, and then they lose their money.
Get fucking smashed.
Yeah.
And that's what Pop said. He goes, one of the things, if they got a tough guy, they push him up against the ropes, there's a big curtain behind it, they club the dude in the fucking head with a blackjack, you know?
So well, it's interesting.
$5. $5 back then was a lot of money.
Dude, I mean, I love the history of catch. I love the history of catch. And the Carney style is very interesting because I remember, like, so, you know, I saw the first, UFC 2. I was at UFC 2 here in Denver. And it blew my mind. And, you know, you think about the gimmick, the Gracies, because the Gracies were the promoters for that.
Yeah.
The gimmick was skinny ass Hoist Gracie beating all these giant guys. And it was like that same kind of hustle that you found in catch wrestling 100 years ago with these skinny dudes like Fred Grubmeier, who would go around looking like a rube and beat the living piss out of everybody. And it's the same fucking hustle. It just got brought up today. But you know, one thing that's interesting, cause I talked to Dick Cardinal, who's a Carney guy too. And I trained a bit with him. He was always telling me that it's different though, because and it really resonated with me because when I was starting, I knew all these submissions, but I wasn't a very good wrestler when I started grappling in 1993, right?
Yeah.
But I would wrestle all these stud Division I wrestlers and win on a submission game because they just didn't know the submission game, right?
Yeah.
So exactly. That's the advantage the Carneys had. The Carneys were bringing up, you could have the biggest, toughest guy, but they didn't know shit. There weren't YouTube videos everywhere how to do a fucking choke or how to do this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing was, I relate to this. And I'll tell you right now, and it's going to hurt feelings from the catch community, I am fucking glad Hoist Gracie won UFC 1. Because if they didn't, if Shamrock's big juiced up ass won, that wrestling is too hard.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
You're right.
And then it would have just, you know, air quote, proven the fact that the small guys aren't better than the big guys. But this gave that, and it's not a false insecurity, it's the truth. Small people can win with proper technique and leverage and yada yada.
Well, and I don't want to interrupt you, but I do want to say something because you were being rough on the certification programs, and I do agree with the exact argument you made. Because here's the problem. So I can't speak to all the other people doing like certifications and stuff, but this was the problem as I saw it, right? Was that there was like so much bullshit out there. I don't want to name names, but there was a lot of tapes traded in the early 90s or the late 90s. I'm not going to say it, but you know, like there was a lot of like shit being passed on. And I felt the only way that we could really keep the legit shit going was to have people actually document their time with somebody. Like you're documenting. People know you trained with Billy Wicks. It's like not even a fucking, debate, you know, you can't make it up after they die kind of thing and say, oh yeah, I trained up, because you know, you were there. There was other guys. And that's what the point was. But this is where I fucked up in my marketing. And if you've noticed it, I've changed it tremendously since when I first launched it. The first time I launched it was Certified Catch Wrestler, right? That was the program name. And me and Billy developed it, the curriculum, the ideas, all that kind of stuff. And it was great. I mean, we traveled the world with it. It was a really good thing. Basically, it was like seminars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the problem is exactly what you said. And this is my fuck up on the marketing. It was never meant to be like a ranking system as to your prowess. That's why that same year I launched the certification program, I launched the King of Catch. Because it was like when you get your copper, silver, or gold coaching in USA Wrestling. That was always the intent. It was a coaching thing, but I really didn't. I just didn't connect it. Just saying straight out coaches certification, because you have to have the competition. That's what pissed me off back then. Was everybody was talking shit. And then when the competition came, all of a sudden everybody shut the fuck up because you could just get out on the mat and wrestle. But we need more people. You know, we need to get more opportunities, especially for game motherfuckers like you, to compete in this. Like, I mean, if we could get to where there was like regional catch wrestling tournaments, just amateur ones, not invitationals, just amateur ones, and they were regularly done, that's probably what I see is like the most important thing that needs to happen, at least for the continuation of the sport.
I think one of the big things that I used to disagree with and then kind of got on board with as I thought about it, I think it was Joel Bain talking about it, like it basically a sanctioning body, because you know, everybody's, well, these are the rules of catch. No, these are the rules of catch. No, these are the rules of catch.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a sanctioning body. I don't want it to become the IBJJF where you have to fucking register and shit. But my thing is, if it's a $20 a year membership.
Right.
And you can, because USA Wrestling added submission grappling.
Right.
So you can do that. And that insurance covers you. So if we could do that or something along those lines, that, like, these are unified rules. Okay. Every year we have a meeting in November, right, or October, whatever it is, and we launch the new rules every year January 1st. That'd be great. You know, I think that needs to happen.
You're right. You're right. Because Joel is actually working on that. He's been putting this thing together, and I'm helping him. And you know, you should help him. And anybody that really gives a shit should just pitch in. It's not about everybody. The problem is wrestling is, you know, it's so filled with guys that have strong egos and are so hyper competitive. But you see what that gets USA Wrestling? It's a bunch of fucking crabs in a bucket. They can't get the size they need because nobody knows how to get along on the business side, which is a huge mistake. Anyway, Joel, yeah, he's got this, and myself, the International Catch Wrestling Federation. I mean, it really, he's kind of got more of the vision, because I agree about a sanctioning body, but the other thing I'd like to see is a little bit of respect for the tradition and catch, where the wrestlers and their backers and their team can negotiate the rule set. Now, you can't do that with like an amateur thing, but I think at the invitational level, you should be able to say, hey, I'm going to wrestle a different weight class, or strangles are barred, or no holds are barred. Yeah, that should be able to be negotiated on a fight-by-fight basis, in my opinion.
Yeah, because that's like, you know, you can make those rules in super fights for jujitsu and stuff. Mm-hmm. You can make those rules, like certain tournaments for jujitsu have separate rules. You know, I do a lot with Grappling Industries. I love it. I'm telling you, if you're going to compete in a tournament, like non-catch, that's the fucking place to go, because they listen to the people, they care.
Yep.
David Agassi, I think his name is Agassi. It's like, all right, what do you guys think this year?
Yep.
What could change? And dude, he does it, you know. So
that's actually how I met Josh LaDuke, was through Grappling Industries Sean Daugherty. I was looking to make a match, and he's like, "Dude, no, this guy's killing it. You need to book him." So Grappling Industries is really killing it. They're doing such a great job. I wish we could find somebody like that in the catch world, even if it was small.
Well, even it doesn't even need to be that. It can be. I think he would even, because he's done, you know, he does super fights.
Yeah,
like he's doing a super fight out west. It's Nate Orchard and I forget who, and like there's an opportunity to do that if there's a big enough draw. Like that's where you could get somebody with a solid catch background, and even if it's just one match, you know. But you know, the thing is, the future of catch is, I'm going to relate to judo. When judo was going through its issues in the Olympics said, hey, listen, you guys look like fucking wrestling with pajamas on.
Yeah.
We need to adjust the rules or you're gone. So they made the evolution. They changed the rules. And now the rules are getting softer because I'm not a fan of that. But they made the adaptation with the time, just like USA Wrestling and the UWW did. Like the pushouts and forcing scores and stuff. They're forcing action. If catch wants to continue, it can't use the fucking 1800 rule set. It has to, because remember, look, what's the attention span on?
You're 100% right. I mean, we ran that test show that you were part of, and it was. And I mean, listen, dude, there was not even 100 people in the fucking venue. You know what I mean? Like catch tell everybody. And we pushed as hard as it could. We had the biggest lists, and we still got maybe 50 to 100 people to show up to support it. That's how small catch is.
Yeah, I brought two people because they happened to be like 45 minutes away at a casino. And after that, I left and we got fucked up and went to the casino, you know?
Yeah.
And I spent all my big winnings for my catch. You know? but yeah, it's one of those things, man. You know, I don't think catch right now is strong enough to go on its own.
No, it's not.
Chris Thompson in the UK is doing a fucking excellent job.
Yes.
With his submission league.
Yep.
And he, I forget the hell it's called actually, but Grapple Fest maybe? I may have made that up. I don't know. Anyways, but that's somebody with a catch tie, with a catch background, who could promote a big catch co-main event or co-event.
Like, right.
Hey, we're going to run a four-man bracket. But if you want people to be involved, you want people to enjoy it, you need to make it to where it's viewable.
Well, the other thing is it's like, you know, it was so, I mean, it felt like there was going to be a riot in there just because of all the nasty fucking bad blood and unprofessionalism brought by one camp. And, you know, we learned a lot, I think, in that show. One, I don't think the best two or three works. I think that's why that was eventually, that died out. I think you could only do best of three. And the other thing that the great thing about catch that I like is that it does have so many variant rule sets that you could tweak them and it stays within the tradition. The thing that I find is that I get the most pushback on with catch is pinning. And it's like pinning is the central thing to catch wrestling. If you look statistically back at all the matches.
That's the one thing that separates catch from sub only.
Right.
So there needs to be an emphasis on that. I think it should be more than 3 seconds at this point.
And there was, you know, there was old matches that would have a five count.
Five count, yeah. That's and listen, holdings, and you can listen. Anybody listening can kiss my ass. They think hold another grown fucking man on their back 5 seconds is easy.
They don't know. They don't know about pinning, dude. Pinning is like, I mean, if you've ever been fucking pinned, it's like the most humiliating, embarrassing fucking thing ever because you cannot get out.
That's what Pops used to say. If a man can pin you, a man can rape you. I'm like. Like, Pop, you know how the anatomy works? The ass is on the back.
Yeah, but that's because he was a deputy sheriff. He spent time in the jails.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, but yeah, I think if Catch wants to continue growing, no, fuck that. If Catch wants to grow, not continue growing, because there are small spurts here and there. But if you look, you know, at Chris's last show, who won the last two tournaments? Jiu-Jitsu guys, you know, and it's because and they have a wrestling background. We wrestled the same high school. Mark Dillon did, Mark Dillon won, but he is a high level brown belt, I think, from ATT. Jiu-Jitsu wins with a little bit of wrestling, so it needs to be where. And it's cool that he came out and supported it, but it needs to be where it's more relatable for the vast majority. Because, like I said, there's over 5,000 people in the catch group, which is and what I think is the biggest catch group on Facebook.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but Jiu-Jitsu, like Chewy from Kentucky, just him, one human being, has over 8,000 in Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, yeah. So
it's, you know, and I don't even know what the biggest Jiu-Jitsu group's got to be. It's probably 100,000 people.
Now, but, I will say this. I'd be surprised if Joel doesn't have a group with something even bigger, because that guy's crazy on social media, actually. He's so good.
I think he'll do well, but I think if they want catch to actually start growing, here's what I think needs to happen to it as a sport, okay? The ICWF or whatever federation needs to have a stand, and it doesn't need to be, this is the fucking rules in concrete. Now, this is our baseline of rules.
Guidelines, okay? Like guidelines.
Yeah. Here are variations.
Yeah.
You know, because even like USA Wrestling, if you're a little kid, you can't suplex, all right?
Right, right.
If you're 7 years old, you probably shouldn't suplex here. You hit 11 years old, guess what? Fucking lawn darts. So they need to have something like that. I'd like to see, and this is one thing I hate about jiu-jitsu and belts, especially IBJJF, each belt has its own division, you know. But in no-gi, it's a flat year. Under 1 year is this. One year to 3 years is this. Over 3 years is this.
Right.
I'd like to see a little bit more of that, you know.
You know, that's interesting that you say that because, you know,
I'm not a huge fan of it.
But it's interesting. It's interesting because this is something that I've talked with Wade. Like, so Wade Chalice, you know, I've been working with him for forever. And one of his big ideas, because, you know, he's so intimately involved with kind of the the administrative side of wrestling as well for so many years was what you were saying. Wrestling's fucking hard. There's no like retention system in wrestling, like a belt system in jiu-jitsu, to keep people coming back. The only belt you get is gold or nothing. You know what I mean? And so that kills your retention. So Wade came up with like a belt system for wrestling, but he could never get it to go because I just don't think wrestlers will ever go for a belt ranking system.
Especially if you start out in youth wrestling, like or middle school even. Because it's just different, you know, and that's what me and Brandon McCatherine talked about, is one of 10 Planet Black belts. The best and worst thing in jiu-jitsu is belts.
Yeah, I don't like them I like them for the business side for retention.
Yeah.
But like, every day is new, man. You could have lost for 2 years, and the next day you go in, you could beat all the black belts. Like,
say, one of my buddies, John Poppy, he's a wrestler out of Iowa, came out of South Carolina, did MMA, does jiu-jitsu. He is a 4-stripe white belt like fucking 10 years ago. And then he got a blue belt and I fucking made fun of him. And, you know, he's like me. I've been a purple belt for over 10 years now.
Right.
And the thing is, like, I understand why. But you're going to put that dude in a fucking gym or in a competition with a guy who's been doing it for a year? That's a fucking terrible idea. So when I came from a wrestling background, it didn't matter if your 8th grade was your first year or 8th year. You go out there, you weigh the same as that fucking dude, you get to go.
That's it.
But that's why there's no retention in wrestling right there. Because if it's your first day and you're just getting fucking handled every day, there has to be something wrong with you come back for that ass beating every week.
Like, yeah. At that point, you're like a masochist or something if you're not like actually have an inclination towards it.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. I won every match my middle school year because I wrestle in Western North Carolina. And I wrestled heavyweights, even though I was 170 pounds, because they're going to try and head and arm me. I would roll them through, and I would pin them. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And then I won my first match in high school, and I got fucking ass beat 3 more times in a row that day. I was like, holy shit, we need to adjust, you know? And wrestlers are a different breed. Like, you know, Dan Gable, once you wrestle, everything else is easy. And that's true. I 100% believe that. But, you know, if you want – I don't fucking like belting and catch. I think catch should be separated by experience – amount of time on the mat.
Yeah.
If you have wrestled anything from like more than a year, you're automatically, we'll just say intermediate or level 2 for right now. All right, level 1, you've never done shit. You came off the street. Let's go.
Wait. Hold on. Cause this is good shit. I want to tease people. Let's take a commercial break real quick. Okay. And then we'll come back. We'll talk about some of this retention stuff. Maybe if there is a way to rank catch wrestlers.
I think the future of catch will be after this.
Okay, cool. Guys, come on back. We got Johnny Buck, from Catch Wrestling Ninja, Rogue Combat Club down in Asheville. Come on back after the break. And we are back. I am thrilled to have, an athlete that I've known for shit, man, for a while now. And he's just a real stud, a great guy, real smart on the business side, as well. A real asset to, Catch as Catch Can Wrestling. Johnny Buck, are you there, Johnny?
Yeah, man.
Okay. So before the break, we were talking like about, you know, retention strategies, some of the issues that maybe need to be addressed to make the sport grow and get a little more of an audience, get more participants, that kind of thing. And we were talking about rank and you're with me. Like I just see it's a real hard sell to do belts or a rank system in the sport of wrestling.
Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
The only thing that I could ever come up with,
it's going to be really fucking hard.
The only thing that I could come up with, and this was something that it's just something I put together from how everybody puts shit together from their own experiences and whatever. But I went in early 2000s. I went over and trained at Gene LaBelle and Gokor's place for about 9 months. And they had a really cool thing. Every month they had an inter-school tournament.
Yes.
And I think that is such a brilliant way for people to get acclimated and inoculated to the stresses of competing. Because I'll be honest, I was always really good in the gym. I was always like a killer in the gym because I didn't have nerves. I could think clearly. But every time, I never had that because I had some illnesses that took me out of high school wrestling. And that's one of the things that's great about like high school wrestling and junior high is the frequency of which you compete. You just get over that shit. That's something that I think needs to be installed. I think that's a big reason why these guys aren't fucking competing. And you could, I really love Gokor's idea. I think if you could create almost a belt system around, let's say that you run an inter-school tournament every month, and let's say after they have 12 tournaments, and then assuming they can meet some sort of conditioning criteria, then they get their like white belt equivalent or something. And then the next one is, you know, 24 tournaments, in-house tournaments.
I think the big thing is, like I said, me and Brandon McCaffrey talk about it. He's got a beep test. It's an old soccer test, basically thing. If you're not at a certain level on the beep test for conditioning, you don't compete, period.
Right.
And he's got white belt, blue belt, purple belt divisions, and he has MMA and all that shit. But yet, I think conditioning is a big part for sure. You know, it's like, you know, conditioning is your greatest hold. You know,
yes, sir.
It's one of the I harp on that. I had a little mindset session with my wrestlers last night. I tried to break them, and nobody broke because that's the tempo we do in here. I saw some people waxing a little bit, but we can, you know, we push through it. So. I think if you want the future of Catch to grow, if you want it to grow, and as much as I don't really like it, because there is something wrong with me, I don't give a fuck about anything, is there needs to be levels, like belts, essentially. And it needs to follow something similar to what I think no-gi grappling is doing. So, like, level one would be, you can say white belt, whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, but just for the sake of conversation.
Anybody tell them they're a white belt and catch them and kick them in the fucking dick. But, so level one would be 0 to 18 months. And that means you walk in off the street. Hey, man, my name's Johnny. I've never done shit before. I like computer games.
Yeah, none of this sandbagging bullshit.
Perfect, right? That's fine. You're level one, okay? Level two would be, I would say, 18 months, unless you're an advanced guy, pick it up quick. Or you wrestled before for more than a year.
Right, right.
Because 1 year of wrestling, especially in school, that's 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Right? Times, you know, fucking, let's say, you know, do it for 7 months. That's a fucking lot of practices.
Plus every weekend go into a tournament.
Yeah, that's 2 years of competition, I think, in 7 months, or of training in 7 months.
Yes, sir.
So that's level two. Level three is where you hit about 2 years to 4 years. Same thing. You're going to have your outliers that go to level four faster, and then level four should be 4 years plus. There should be like an advance. And one thing I disagree with a lot of jiu-jitsu tournaments, there are only three levels: beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And that intermediate advance line is too narrow, because you've got your 2 year guys,
right?
3 year guys say, hey, you've been doing jiu-jitsu for 3 years. That's Johnny Buck. Oh, fuck.
Right.
Yeah, he's been on the mat more of his life than he's been off of it.
Right.
And I think that's a part of it, but I think that would help retention. And Chris Rogers talked about having like a SPATS type thing, or a Valley Tudo type short ranking system. And at the time, I was like, no, it's fucking stupid. I still think it's stupid, but I think it's important for the retention of catch. I think it's very important to grow wrestling.
Well, one thing that you see now, and we know that the driver of all of this is ultimately MMA, like all these strip mall dojos that are everywhere now. Those are viable businesses. People actually put food on the table for their family with these businesses. And out of that dojo, those people keeping the lights on, paying your salary, all that stuff. How many of those guys go to tournaments? And of that number, how many actually come back with gold? So it's like you have to have some way for the vast majority of the people who are paying you to have buy-in. They have to have some sort of marker for their accomplishment, because it's just the sad truth. A huge percentage of people aren't going to compete. And with catch, the problem is it's so small. We have such a small amount of people competing because there's no incentive for people just to come in, because everybody talks shit if you're not this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah, my thing is like
the belts bring respect. Which I think is something that's important. And I think respect is lacking in the catch wrestling world.
Well, I think what, even if you're a fucking 17th Don in some kind of fucking Asian martial art,
yeah.
I don't give a fuck because you're 11 years old. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, right. But,
honestly, if you want to get actual respect for catch wrestling, and this is going to be the key to doing that, is you have to put on your fucking big boy pants and you have to go compete in jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
And you have to beat them at their game. You can't go around, well, I can't fucking neck lock anybody. Bullshit, you can't. You can face lock whoever the fuck you want in the advanced division. Okay? Well, I can't slam anybody. Actually, you can. Me and Chris Thompson argue about it all the time. I was like, man, my skin's too pale. They'll disqualify me for that IBJJF. But you know what? If you want to do that, then get your skill levels set up. All right? Increase your skill levels. And then go to Polaris.
Well, Barnett has proven that model. That's a formula that's 100% proven, because when he was like in Japan and then decided to really kind of break back into the U.S. scene, he just went and mowed through every jiu-jitsu tournament that was available.
And that was the legitimate, that was, in my opinion, at that time, modern era, that's the most legitimate catch appearance there has been.
Mm-hmm.
Because he went out and beat Dean Lister with the head crush, which that... So, I love Josh, and I got a chance from UFC guys like Eric Anders and those guys. I was down at Chris Conley's gym in Birmingham, and they let me put that chest compressor on people. They're like, do it. All right, do it again. Grab it. All right, get out. I'm like, dude, get out hard as you want to. Like, what the fuck? That's a legit move.
Yeah.
And there's some technique to it, and it's on my website, catchwrestling.ninja. It's in the free lead thing. Like,
oh, nice.
Videos. That's in there. The executioner's in there.
So basically, if people go to catchwrestling.ninja, you say, give me your email, and I'm going to send, and then you send them a bunch of like videos and technique.
It's for the four most devastating holds in catch. It's the chest compressor. It's the dragon sleeper executioner.
Yes, sir.
Which I hit world. And here's the thing about it. Every one of these I've hit at the high level.
Nice.
I hit a black belt with the chest compressor the last tournament I did. I hit the executioner at Worlds and kind of divided the jiu-jitsu community completely in half. Oh, man, that's fucking great. The other half was like, what the fuck? You're a terrible human being. I like go when he tapped. And then the double wrist locker Kimura, depending on where your background is. And these are moves I hit at Worlds. These are moves I hit at high levels. And these are legit, in my opinion, these are catch moves. Because... that's where, you know, the Kimura, air quote Kimura, was hit by fucking, the dude's name was Kimura, fucking broke a Gracie's arm, and he learned it from the catch guys.
Yep.
And people, well, no, the difference between a Kimura and a double wrist, I mean, shut up. You don't get an opinion.
Well, and the problem is, man, that's what really pisses me off, is like, and God bless them, because they're fans, but I think the way that the fans, like, what I call the keyboard catch wrestlers, you know, they want buy-in, they want to be tough, and they, you know, they could see the moves and make their own little technical spouting off about it or whatever. But, I mean, man, you know, everybody, there's no, like, one way to do catch. Catch is ultimately, I mean, it's a tradition.
Me and Pop disagreed wholeheartedly on a bunch of things.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure Pops disagreed with Henry Colin, and Henry Colin probably disagreed with Farmer Burns. Like,
yeah.
That catch is a set of rules, and that's why I think we should be inclusive to the jiu-jitsu community. Be like, dude, come on over. It's just like it's no gi with the added dimension of a pin. Like it's a little harder because you've got to watch out for the pin too.
That's what we me and Josh LaDuke hung out in Jacksonville at the 10th Planet Invitational.
Oh, nice.
And legit, we're sitting and we're laughing. I think the nice to meet you. It's like a handshake, fucking wrist lock, like double wrist lock, like Kimura type thing, you know?
Sure.
And I'm like, that's the first time I've ever seen anybody actually grab the hand where I liked it.
Yeah.
Because if I'm trying to break your shoulder, I want at least the fewest moving parts possible between what I'm trying to break and what I'm grabbing. And
yep.
I'm like, oh, but it's not like he's sitting there spending an hour trying to grab your fingers and twist them. He's like, it's based off you countering and he recounters. You know, so the dude's fucking slick. Whether you like him or hate him, that motherfucker's good.
Oh, he's great. He's really great. And he's another guy that reminds me of you insofar as, like, he's a stud in terms of going and competing and coaching other people and stuff. But
I think he's fucked up right now. I think his back's fucked up.
Yeah, he fucked it up pretty bad. I mean, dude, we had him booked like 3 times and it fell through.
I think he's coming up here soon to see. I got one of his brown belts and trains in my gym. He moved up here. I think he's going to be coming up soon. But and we'll put some content out, and we're gonna talk about doing seminars.
You know, good, because he is very smart on the business side too, just like you, which is what this sport needs. It needs less people like getting online and bullying people, and more like leaders like yourself that are actually doing things and being kind of quiet and just chiming in when stuff needs to be said. You know.
Yeah, and the thing about continuing the future of Catch, if Catch wants to grow, like I said, you have to compete in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And I'm winning jiu-jitsu matches. Yep. I'm winning jiu-jitsu world titles. I'm doing the IBJJF in a fucking gi.
Right.
In the end of August, because I know that's a big show. But, man, who's that fucking dude with the big head and giant legs and pajamas who just fucking submitted somebody with a head and arm choke?
By the way, dude, what the hell's up with your thighs, man? How are you deadlifting like in your sleep too? I mean, how did you get such big fucking legs?
Long story short, I've always had a good strength and conditioning program from high school through college, and then one of my college strength and conditioning coaches, Jeff Lee, he does all my programming for Worlds and stuff. And Jeff, when you're listening, I puked three times during the run you made me do, and then puked again after squatting. So, but
well, you make a great point too, because not only did Josh do kind of the formula you're talking about, go and compete, even jiu-jitsu, even in the gi, because Josh did that.
Yeah.
But Carl, Carl Gotch got the name God of wrestling and shit in Japan because he went down, put on a gi in the Kodokan, and just destroyed everybody, you know?
And here's the thing, and this is what I argue with people a lot about. Oh, yes, at the highest level, the fucking gi is tricky.
Sure.
But in that match, I posted on Instagram a few weeks ago after the tournament. The guy goes, hey, man, do you want to do a... Because my only gi match is Brian, with my main training partner. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool, whatever. And they made me do it because it was a smaller tournament, sub only. And, I out-wrestled. He about caught me a few times, and I basically wrestled. And then I went against a brown belt. And what I did in my head was it's the exact same. The only thing I do different in a gi than I do in wrestling, just no gi, is I grab your lapel. That's it. I don't play wrist grips. I don't play fucking pant grip. I will grab your pants if I'm trying to pass or open guard. But it's the exact same. I went back for a leg lock early in the match, and I lost it. So I scrambled to get back on top, and I ended up finishing with a leg lock. And here's the thing. Well, I don't like the rules because you can't do this. Well, I hit him with a fucking straight ankle, which I broke down on my Instagram too, how I did it, and it's on my website. It was DOA, so it was completely IBJJF legal.
Yeah.
And I beat him. I beat jiu-jitsu, an upper belt, at their game. And I had my Catch wrestling rash guard on underneath it. And, I got up, and my girlfriend was filming. I winked at her because I hit her with that. It's a reverse grip straight ankle that she does. She goes, you fucking savage. But, but he was doing all this stuff. And you can see in the video, I'm puzzled. I'm like, what's he doing? I know it's not good because he's got his fucking leg over my arm, under my jacket, in my jacket, and he's pulling on the fucking jacket. I'm like, huh. Let me figure this out. Fuck it. I'm going to put his knees behind his head because I don't care how good you are. That's going to help you. And it made a big difference. So, like I said, if Catch wants to grow, if Catch wants to be legitimate, they need to do what Josh Barnett does. They need to do what I'm doing right now. They need to go out and beat them at their game.
Well, why would anybody ever come over to Catch Wrestling if they feel that what they're doing is the best thing? The only way you're going to bring people over is if you go to their turf, and jiu-jitsu is the market, dude. I mean, it is such a big market compared to Catch Wrestling.
I mean,
huge. If we want to be able to pull, but the thing is, you can't go be down talking jiu-jitsu guys. You can't be, trying to create some sort of flame war between jiu-jitsu and Catch. You just go over to jiu-jitsu, win some tournaments, and people will ask you what you're doing, and you say, I'm doing Catch Wrestling. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you legit want to do that, if you legit, you're going to take your lumps. But you can't go into a jiu-jitsu gym, but man, my dick's 25 inches around. No, you go in there, be humble.
Humble.
You're going to catch way more flies with sugar than vinegar.
Yep.
Is how it works. And, you know, I train other jiu-jitsu gyms in the town. I train on the 10th Planet system because it's so wrestling based. And you know, the thing is, and even Eddie Bravo, like the Twister is the fucking wrestling.
Yeah.
Team.
Yeah.
And he tried to call it that. He said, no, the Brazilians, we already have that. We'll call it a Twister. He goes, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, Kimura wrist lock, Twister, fucking guillotine.
Now I have to do this just cause I'm the host. We're running up on the last about 15 minutes and I'm almost certain you have more bullet points to get to on what the future catch, what really needs to happen.
Yeah. So realistically, if you want catch to grow, and this is my quick rundown.
Yeah.
One, don't be a fucking douchebag.
That's number one. Yes, sir. Yeah, amen.
That's a big thing, you know, and if you don't compete, you do get an opinion, but it carries less weight.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And catch has to adapt. And even from a jiu-jitsu catch wrestler guy, sub only is boring because you watch two people stall and then they go to overtime, an EBI style overtime, and try and win there. I have a super fight coming up at Toro Cup. It's 10 minutes sub only, and then it's 4 minutes points. And if it's tied at the end of the 4 minutes, like you both have 4 points or whatever, it goes to first point scored. So there's definitely, that's going to create more action than two groups sitting there for 10
minutes. Well, it's interesting because, you know, if you think about it, like, you know, sub only and no gi is huge. I mean, fuck, Eddie Bravo's built an entire empire off of it. And I mean, and he's not alone. A lot of people have really, but if you look, I see, because, you know, wrestling in the gi adds a layer of complexity. There's no getting around it because the grips and the lapel chokes and all, you know, the handles that you can hold on to changes the entire complexity. I see that
top side position and choked unconsciously.
But I don't see that level of complexity, that raise of complexity that the gi adds to grappling any different than the level of complexity that pinning adds to no gi. It's the same thing. It's just a level of complexity for a different game.
Well, and here's my favorite example of it right now. Gordon Ryan. Gordon Ryan is, in my opinion, sub only one of the, if not the best fucking grappler.
That's hard to debate.
But what does he do? He goes to PANS, IBJJF, you know, their rule set, and beats them at their game.
Yep. Okay?
I think he's putting a gi on this year. I don't know if he'll win this year, but give him 2-3 years, he will. I think that's and he may go to MMA. I don't know, but you know, you have to go outside of your comfort zone. This is why I tell everybody, like right now in the gym, I am playing a shitload of guard off my back, and it's because I suck at guard.
Yeah,
I got exposed at Olympus with Brian Brown's thing in 10th Planet in Jacksonville. And I'm like, well, there's a hole in my game. I have to fix that. So I get fucking passed by blue belts. I'm like, what the fuck? If I was playing my game, I would just murder you.
Right.
That's how you have to, so you have to be uncomfortable. And that's what catch needs to do. Catch needs to get uncomfortable and go compete in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Right?
And I think that's a huge thing where people are missing. So, you know, my thing is don't be a douche. Get outside of your comfort zone and compete elsewhere.
Right.
Right. And, you know, get out of your cave or your mom's basement, whichever it is. Right? Probably your mom's basement. Because, like, go out and support other things. Support catch wrestling. Like, going to Joel Bain's cost me a bunch of money. It actually cost me a shitload of money because I missed my flight. So I had to buy another fucking ticket.
Yeah.
Thank you, credit card. But, you know, when I saw my family, I hung out. It was cool. And honestly, that's the reason I went, because it was in New Jersey, like an hour from my grandma's and my aunts and uncles. So that's why I went. If it was in the middle of fucking Iowa again, I wasn't going to go.
Well, and that's the thing. You talk about supporting catch wrestling. I started a hashtag, and I'm hoping the hashtag, you know, catches a little bit of momentum, and that's catch unity. I actually got it from somebody, you know, I invented that mace spell, and there was a bunch of factionalism, and then one of my guys came up with this idea of mace unity, and it's really created a lot of like synergy where people are working together and all this dumb like bitterness is gone.
Well,
I wish that we could have that.
Here's how you could fix it. Won't happen, but here's how you could fix all of that.
You're probably right.
Catch, You could fix like fucking racial tensions, transphobic, fucking political tensions. Get the opposing side and put them in a room together.
Yeah.
Like, no, anybody, nobody's going to fucking fight anybody.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Even in catch, right? They're going to sit there and they're going to see they have more in common than they have difference.
100%.
You know, and I think that's the thing. There's more. Like, when me, the first time I met Brandon McCaffrey and BMAC, we spent like 2.5 hours bouncing ideas off of each other.
Because, right.
Oh, that's a sweet leg entry. I've never seen that before. That's a great leg ride. That's this. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I showed him some wrestling. Oh, fuck, that's cool. I've got his guys wrestling down there now.
Yeah.
And now he's got a really good wrestling coach in his program. And he's got a pretty big wrestling program. And the thing is, the jiu-jitsu guys are seeing the dominance of wrestling. They're seeing the dominance. Like, look at the UFC. Who's winning the UFC?
Oh, right they now? Know. Fuck they it. Know.
So they're going to start learning it. But if we're assholes and we just beat the fuck out of a jiu-jitsu guy their first day in class,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And this is the reality, and you know this better than anybody. I mean, catch wrestling is fucking rough as shit. And and that is really tough for retention. I mean, there's no getting around like cross-facing somebody or riding their ankles or just, you know, I mean, the attitude of catch is very difficult. So I mean, the future, I think the future looks bright, but I do think that you're right about one. The no douchebag rule is fucking paramount because everybody who sees catch wrestling from the outside sees all the unprofessionalism and the factionalism and gets turned off right away. Nobody wants to fucking waste their time with that. It's like Facebook's bad enough with all the fucking pro-abortion, anti-abortion, all that shit. It's like nobody needs that stress. This is supposed to be something fun. It's a sport.
Exactly.
Two, you said, is jiu-jitsu, right? People got to get out and actually fucking show up at these other tournaments, jiu-jitsu tournaments, right?
And just support your sport. The difference between jiu-jitsu and catch is the rules. That's it.
That's it.
You know, so go support that. Spread, you know, don't be a douchebag. You know? And the other thing I talk about is supporting your sport. You're supporting your community. You know, in my gym, I do a lot to support local business. You know, we have a staff meeting. I hit the local pizza shop down the street. Is it cheaper for me to go to Papa John's? Yes, it is. But I hit the local business, and two of our members work there. That's what you have to do.
When you become an entrepreneur like you are, like I am, I mean, dude, I bought and sold companies. I'm a serious entrepreneur. It's a radical shift in your personality because you realize, oh, fuck. Yeah, like I'm actually involved with the community, and as much as I give, I'm going to get back.
Exactly. I shared something from Tony Robbins today, and is, you know, he was, long story short, dead broke. He had $26 left to his name, spent $6 or $7 at lunch, saw a kid and gave the kid every bit of cash in his pocket. He goes, I had no fucking food. I had to walk home, but I felt good about it.
Yeah.
And the more you give, the more you get. And, you know, if you don't have it, give it anyways, man. And
that's true.
I wholeheartedly been. You know, right now, I'll be honest, I am still technically losing money on my website because of how I've run it.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's growing, you know. I fucking essentially lost everything building this gym. You know, I defaulted all my credit cards. I've done everything. But now I have two pretty much full-time employees.
Right.
I have six other coaches who are here part-time, and as I grow, they will grow.
And yeah, but you know what? There's an interesting parallel here, and this is why I think so many wrestlers make good entrepreneurs and good business people, because it's just like competing. Yeah. Like, you have to, like, when you're going to start a business, dude, you're going to suck. You're going to go in the in the hole. You're going to get abused. You're going to lose, waste money, all this shit. And then the more you do it, you begin to learn the tricks. And next thing you know, you're fucking killing it.
Yeah.
But you have to stick with it.
A guy opened a gym 3 miles from my street 2 weeks ago. He wants me to buy it. I'm like, well.
Wow.
I hate that he closed down that fast.
Wow.
But, you know, and that's part of business. And I'm not
I looked
at the numbers. It's not smart. So, but yeah, I think, you know, the future of catch is it's right there on that cusp of becoming like gladiator fucking history and what could be amazing again. Like,
yeah.
Boxing is coming back right now.
I know it. I know it,
insane.
Man.
Insane. I watched it. I'm like, you people are fucking crazy.
I know. I never thought that would happen either. And I'll tell you, like, you know, I've kind of tried to dabble in every part of grappling and wrestling that I possibly can, from jiu-jitsu to pro wrestling to catch wrestling to no-gi to all that kind of shit. You know, when I was active, I mean, I'm 45 and busted up now, but I think that, like, we need to get people, like, open-minded about shit and just, like, oh, catch wrestling. I want to do it. It's cool. Like, I think we spent too much making it scary, making it too hard. We need to, like, have, like make it better for people to want and get involved. But I don't necessarily know how to do that.
It's not pro wrestling. That's the thing. That's the people. Oh, you do pro wrestling? No, motherfucker, catch wrestling. I did pro wrestling once. It was cool. I made $50. It was great. but it was, it's a very different sport.
Well, back to, like, guys like Billy Wicks and Billy Robinson and Carl Gotch, there was no other game in town. There was no legit game. That's how, if you wanted to stay in the business and you wanted to wrestle, that's what you did. And today, it's 100% different. I mean, guys could support themselves on, like, this grappling circuit, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I have the potential, if I really want to make more money in jiu-jitsu than I did in MMA. I know I can make more money than I did in my purses in MMA. I had a really good manager, so I made an assload on sponsorships because we hustled the fuck out of it. But, yeah, I think, honestly, if you don't want the brain damage, start doing jiu-jitsu.
Well, we've talked about this before. Like, I mean, I got hit in the head by Ryan Schultz, who is an IFL middleweight guy, hell of a wrestler too. And he was lighter than me. He was a weight class under me. And we were at that inaugural Team Quest camp back in like 2003. Yeah. And I was testing out. I'm like, am I going to do MMA? I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And after that, I was like, fuck, dude, I do not want to get hit like that many times. I mean, CTE, that's a real fucking thing now, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't exist when we were younger, though.
Yeah, it was just called...
Muhammad Ali has Parkinson's? Yeah, that's what it is.
It used to be called punch drunk or punchy. Yeah. They used to call you punchy.
It's still punchy. But yeah, man, I think that's the gist of where catch needs to do. I think it needs to let go of 1800s. I think it needs to modernize. I think people just need to be nice. You know, that's the thing about it, you know? So.
Well, I appreciate you, Johnny. I mean, you've really... not only do you make contributions on the business side and teaching and all that, but you're just game as hell, and you always have been. So I was really happy when you won the King of Catch tournaments those couple of times. I know it's a small tournament, but that's the point. It's like, fuck, people, just get out and hold these events so people can compete.
Yeah, and that's what I told everybody. I'm like, I did not train for that. I did not do any training for that because I knew pure wrestling I would be okay.
Right.
So, it is what it is. But, you know, obviously, as I continue, so I'd like to see some higher level catch stuff. I'd like to see, you know, that stuff happening. I don't want to bash the fucking UK side. Those guys are doing really good.
Oh, no.
Wrestling is different here than there because of the folk style background.
Right, right. I mean, the sad fact is you haven't seen the UK produce Olympic level wrestling as consistently as the United States, period. I mean, but it's such a small country.
So yeah, it is. Like you have like fucking South Carolina. Pick that many people. It's tough, man. You know, but I like what they're doing. I like how they're pushing it, and I like that they're not cuntbags. So
yeah, like I look at a guy like Ian Jones over there, and he to me. He's like the prototype because he's just a real sweetheart of a human being, but he gets out and wrestles, and he wrestles everything. He wrestles jiu-jitsu, all of that stuff. So
yeah. You're
right about all of that. Now, Johnny, we're already up at the end of the our hour together. It goes quick. We'll have to do this again because I love chatting with you. People want to get a hold of you. Catchwrestling.ninja. They could get your techniques. Rogue Combat. Is it .com? Roguecombat.com?
RogueCombatClub.com. Yeah, that's my gym. You know, if you're in the area, come and train. I'd be more than happy to have you guys. And then the easiest way to get a hold of me is Instagram. It's JohnnyBuck2, like the number two, all one word. And that's where I'm at. And it's JohnnyBuck, then the number two.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, and that's the easy way to get a hold of me. Plus, you know, go to the website, dude. Go to the website, click the link. If you get the four free techniques, You know, check them out. You're not obligated to buy. I wish you did. That'd be great.
Guys, go. It's pretty. It's a good deal, and I know you've been doing it for a while, so you got a ton of content. You have to.
I just reloaded everything. So I basically upgraded the site that way I could have more options for you guys. And then from there, you join that, you get in a free group. I'm actually going to open that group up to everybody here soon.
Oh, nice.
I'm working on that right now. But I said I'm competing so often. I'm traveling so often. And like I said, I'm going from Asheville to Lexington, Kentucky, and then straight across to Idaho. I'm gonna stop in Grand Junction.
Colorado. Cool, dude. Let me know, cause that's it's at least maybe you'll be driving by my part of town over by Denver.
Yeah, I cut through Denver.
Oh, cool, cool, guys. Listen. If you need well, you can now. if you guys want to get a hold of Buck, Johnny Buck 2, and that's JOHNNY. Johnny Buck 2 on Instagram. catchwrestling.ninja, check it out. roguecombatclub.com if you're in the Asheville, North Carolina. Johnny, it's been a real pleasure, and I do hope to get you on again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do it again.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, man.